Good morning to everyone. The topic of our flagship publication is somewhat different this year from previous year. Why? Because rather than focusing on a particular trade policy area, as we did in previous years, we've taken a broader approach and tried to provide a glimpse into how international trade landscape may evolve in the future. It's not an exercise in crystal ball gazing, but rather a systematic attempt to analyze the factors that will shape the future of world trade. As you know, the world is changing rapidly, hence the world of trade is changing rapidly. Populations are aging in certain countries, more women are entering into the workforce, capital is moving across border faster than ever, middle classes are on the rise, firms from emerging countries are now investing in advanced economies. The demand for natural resources is soaring, and the complex interplay between supply and demand in this field is leading to price uncertainty, volatility, and potential scarcity, especially in energy markets. Transport and communication costs have declined rapidly owing to technology revolution, while the rules of the game, which are defined by political systems, by economic institutions, by cultural norms, are also evolving, albeit more slowly. At the same time, technological advance, innovative budget strategies, policy changes have generated in greater economic, political, social interdependence among countries over the years. As we all know, this consolidation of globalization has created losers, but it has also made a profound contribution to growth, to development, to prosperity by increasing the size of the world's economic pie. Increased economic growth is, in turn, driving more trade openness. So trade bears a complex relationship with many of the other forces of change which are affecting our world. Now, we at WTO do not espouse trade for its own sake, but for its potential contribution to our collective future. Our responsibility is to nurture trade and create the conditions under which it will make its rightful contribution to make this world a better place. So this year's World Trade Report provides, I believe, an intellectual foundation to start thinking about these issues in a structured, forward-looking, and a pragmatic way. By combining a historical narrative with contemporary analysis and some conjecture about the future, this report is expected to generate debate on the intermingling of the different drivers of a changing world, economy, polity, and society. While the finding of this report do not lead to believe in any sort of reverse of globalization, policies adopted in the evolving broader socio-economic context will undoubtedly bear an important influence on the future of world trade. Now, let me now highlight a few key elements in that report. First, recent years witnessed economic and social political pressures for protectionism as a result of widening income gaps, growing joblessness in many economies. Trade is perceived by many as a major disruptive force in the context of income distribution, although, as we know, other forces, notably technological change, play a key role. Hence, the gains brought about by trade openness could be threatened by a neglect of distributional concerns. So policy needs to facilitate structural adjustment, to support new opportunities. We need long-term policies for education and training, and short-term policies to manage the transitions of those adversely affected by this change. Another public policy challenge that is, in our view, bound to grow in importance is how to manage the environment, especially in light of population growth, rising incomes in large parts of the world, and while trade is not identified as the main culprit in this regard, it is perceived as contributing to concerns about resource exhaustibility and negative environment externalities. The report also points out that the context of trade opening has now changed. It's no longer only about tariff barriers. It's more and more about non-tariff measures. As you know, last year's World Trade Report found that traditional protection-motivated quotas, safeguards, barriers have increasingly given way to consumer-oriented health, safety, or environmental standards. And the WTO will continue to face the challenge of how to distinguish between legitimate policy measures and those who are protectionist. Another key determinant of change is the rise of value chains. The high level of import intensity in export production has created an unprecedented level of interdependency among countries engaged in supply chains, hence the importance of policies such as trade facilitation for the smooth functioning of value chains. In order to revive the vibrancy of the global trading system, the WTO, while continuing to address traditional issues of market access, will have to expand its agenda. Beyond trade facilitation, other issues related to the growing goods, services, investment nexus will probably need to be considered. At present, much of the deep integration in international trade agreements is at the regional level. This runs the risk of regulatory divergence and market segmentations in the medium to long run. Convergence in non-tariff measures, again, beyond what is being done on trade facilitation, perhaps through multilateralizing deep provisions in regional trade agreements, will be crucial in leveling the playing field in the future. As we've witnessed during recent years, with the changing political economy of international negotiations, multilateralism is likely to go through different difficult times. Governments are being tested in defining and implementing common strategies in response to all these global challenges. And as we work painfully towards a new equilibrium in international cooperation, new relationships, new leadership patterns will inevitably emerge, just as they have throughout history. And for the multilateral system in particular, questions internal to the design and governance of WTO will also matter. How can the advantages of non-discriminatory trade agreements within the system be preserved? Can members define a role for the Secretariat that can be more supportive of a forward movement without challenging the primacy of the membership in deciding outcomes? few questions which, in my view, stem from this exercise of looking at the future and need to be addressed. So, in conclusion, trade has played a remarkable role over the last decades as part of a virtuous circle of economic growth, development, a harbinger of opportunities unimaginable not that long ago, and as an agent for potential greater social cohesion. The rise of international supply chains has deepened, broadened opportunities arising from international exchange. It has enabled many developing economies to reach out to the global market. As we've seen last week, WTO, Aid for Trade initiative has played a crucial role in helping to create supply capacity and to connect the least connected. Some of the challenges which this report identified have already, in some ways, been addressed in the report of the stakeholder panel, which was published in April this year. The list is by no means exhaustive, but the ground it covers will hopefully initiate thought, discussion, to keep ensuring that trade is seen as a solution, not as a threat. New actors, new patterns of trade, new barriers to trade have to be acknowledged. And as a consequence of this, our view is that the WTO too may require some adjustments. On a more personal note, this is the eighth and final World Trade Report produced under my tenure. Let me, on this occasion, thank the Secretariat staff, whose strong intellectual leadership has helped these reports to become world references on research on trade matters. And I have no doubt that the WTO's flagship publication will only go from strength to strength in the years to come, even if Patrick, by then, will not be the main engine behind this achievement. And let me also take this occasion to thank him for everything he did at a time where he's looking at new horizons. Thanks.